From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Open enrollment is underway for Covered California. Roughly 2 million residents purchase health insurance through the state's marketplace that was created under the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, ranging from people who are self-employed, don't have affordable options from their employer, or make too much to qualify for Medi-Cal, the state's version of Medicaid. But the number of enrollees may drop. As it stands today, tax credits for the majority of Covered California customers will expire at the end of the year if Congress doesn't approve an extension, which means for many, premiums will rise to an amount that may have them considering going without health insurance altogether. We're going to hone in on the San Joaquin Valley, where more than 90% of Covered California enrollees currently receive some kind of subsidy through tax credits. Tim Sheehan is a senior reporter with The Intersection, a health equity reporting lab from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, a nonprofit that partners with Cap Radio. Welcome back, Tim.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so you focused on the 8-county region in the Central Valley, going from San Joaquin County in the north to Kern County in the south. So we're talking about cities like Stockton, Modesto, Fresno, and Bakersfield. How many people are enrolled in Covered California in this part of the state?
Altogether in that 8-county region, we've got about 202,000. So not an insignificant number. And as you pointed out, about 90 to 91% of those enrollees receive at least some level of subsidy through these tax credits, the expanded tax credits that were implemented in 2021.
Okay, so how does one qualify for tax credits?
Essentially, if you're low enough income that you don't qualify for Medi-Cal, but you have an income that generally would be under $60,000 for a family, you would qualify for the original Obamacare tax credits from back in 2012, 2013, whenever those were approved. There was another layer of tax credits that were added on in 2021 as part of COVID-era relief to make the Affordable Care Act actually more affordable because the premiums for everybody except the people of the lowest incomes who could qualify, were still not considered affordable, truly affordable for folks. So at this point, under the credits that are about to expire at the end of this year, the credits were available to anybody making over 400% of the poverty level, which was the original cap. And also, it capped out-of-pocket expenses for premiums at 8.5% of a person's income.
Okay, so 8.5% of someone's income, or four times the federal poverty level. Like for one, a single person filing, that would be someone making like $62,000 or less a year would receive some kind of tax credit to help subsidize their health insurance premiums. So Fresno and San Joaquin County, you have a good list, a breakdown of this 8-county region. These two counties, unsurprisingly, they're home to the most enrollees. They have the highest populations. How significant are these tax credits when looking at the average that someone pays who does get this subsidized versus someone who does not get that tax credit and just kind of pays it without that subsidization?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, in Fresno County, the average net monthly premium for someone who is subsidized is about $80 per member per month. If you don't have a subsidy, the average monthly premium is $540 per person per month. So it's a huge difference. Covered California is projecting that statewide, the average increase for a person who's enrolled would be somewhere around a 97% increase, almost double. Here in the San Joaquin Valley, Covered California's estimates were anywhere from 112% in Stanislaus County, 112% increase in Stanislaus County, 129% in San Joaquin County, and 160% in Fresno County. So we're talking about substantial increases that not everybody's going to be able to absorb.
Yeah. I mean, as you just laid out, I mean, those who are enrolled in Covered California, they now can get an idea of how much more their premiums may increase if these tax credits aren't extended by Congress before the end of the year. Jessica Altman is the executive director of Covered California, and she was in Fresno last week. You were there as well. Here's a little of what she told you.
I have already heard from retirees facing the highest premium increases in the state, from parents who are juggling medical bills and other bills in their life, from young adults considering going without insurance, and small business owners uncertain if they can continue to make it on their own with the higher cost of coverage.
What did you learn from her about how Covered California is navigating this time?
Well, what they're trying to do is, the Fresno event was one of about, I think, 6 or 8 events that they're having throughout the state to promote open enrollment, that even with these higher premiums for which the notices were sent out last month, even with that, they're urging people to enroll and get signed up rather than go without insurance altogether. And the other thing that they're trying to get the word out is, if Congress should at some point pass an extension or of these tax credits, then there can be perhaps some retroactivity to make sure that people can go back into a reopened enrollment and you know, readjust what their cost would be.
Do they have an idea of how many people could lose their tax credits entirely if this does expire at the end of the year?
I believe it is somewhere around 400,000 statewide could lose the tax credits. A lot of the people who have the tax credits would still qualify for the original Obamacare tax credits. But then you've got folks who are over that 400% poverty line, who are self-employed or part of the gig economy, or work someplace that doesn't provide health care benefits that at least would be affordable. Those are the folks who would be possibly at risk of facing these higher premiums.
Yeah, I mean, as you also laid out, I mean, it can be exponentially higher. You know, when you look at average net monthly premiums for those who receive tax credits, if it's around $80 to $100 a month versus, you know, someone in the same county that's paying anywhere from $500 to $600 a month per member, I mean, that's exponentially higher. Do they have a gauge of how many people may leave Covered California and go without health insurance?
They don't really have a good number on that yet. They don't have a good idea, since it is still relatively early in the open enrollment period. Open enrollment opened November 1st, and there's a sense that people are waiting to see what's going to happen. Jessica Altman mentioned to me that they think that as we get closer to the end of December, when the open enrollment period would close, that's when they'll have a much better idea of how many people have decided it's too much and just walk away. There's one fellow that I talked to, he's a barber named Juan Gonzalez here in Fresno, who, when I spoke with him through an interpreter, he mentioned that his current premium under Covered California is $44 a month. The renewal notice that he got indicated that his premium for the same plan would be $140 a month. So more than triple for him. And that's not a uncommon thing that we're seeing out there.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk to public health officials in the area, I mean, one of them was Dr. Olga Meave from Clinica Sierra Vista based in Fresno. What is the overarching concern? Because it doesn't just end with, like, if you go without health insurance, that likely means you're going to go without preventative screenings, and things can kind of snowball and become a lot worse by the time you actually get to a hospital or a doctor.
Exactly. Her concern, Dr. Meave was basically saying that if people don't qualify for Medi-Cal and they can't afford Covered California, then those folks are most likely going to delay routine medical care, the screenings, things like that, screenings for diabetes, screenings for cancer, screenings for all sorts of different things, where if you head those things off at the pass, to use an old Western cliche, then, you know, it becomes a lot more economical to treat those things early than to let them progress to the point where it becomes much more serious, requires emergency room visits, which are much more expensive than seeking preventive care, or a hospital stay, where the cost could easily add up for a couple of days in the hospital to more than what you would be paying in a premium.
And there's still a question mark. I mean, Congress could approve an extension of these tax credits, but also one of the drivers of this record-breaking government shutdown came down to healthcare subsidies. So where does all of that stand now?
Very much undetermined at this point. You know, when the Senate voted for its package to open the government, their proposal or the plan was to promise a vote on the healthcare subsidies sometime in December. Not to promise that it would pass, but to promise that they would bring it to a vote. That didn't happen with the House version that was passed. So who knows if it's going to even get taken up before the end of the year. There are some proposals being kicked around in Congress, from what I understand, including one proposal to send money directly to families as opposed to having it be a tax credit that would go to the insurance companies. And I think that was something that President Trump proposed on Truth Social. And I believe there's legislation now in the House that is, you know, being kicked around that would try to accomplish that as opposed to tax credits.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with reporter Tim Sheehan with the Health Equity Reporting Lab, The Intersection, about changes at the federal level that are impacting affordable access to health insurance. So we were just diving into Covered California. That's the state's health insurance marketplace under the Affordable Care Act. But you also have been following changes to Medi-Cal. That's the state's version of Medicaid for the lowest income Californians. Remind us what changes are coming down the pipeline.
Well, when the One Big Beautiful Bill Act was passed back in July and signed by President Trump on the 4th of July, among the provisions in it were somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid, which is the federal version of California's Medi-Cal program, over the course of the next decade. That is one of the aspects that is taking a big chunk out of the potential amount that California receives for Medi-Cal coverage. The provisions include stricter work requirements for people to qualify for Medi-Cal and more frequent eligibility checks for people to qualify. The anticipation is that the additional hurdles, the additional work requirements, the additional eligibility checks will knock a number of people off of Medi-Cal and leave them essentially without insurance, without healthcare insurance.
So we're talking about the One Big Beautiful Bill, but then previously we're talking about the possible expiration of Affordable Care Act tax credits. So how are the two related? I mean, they're still under this umbrella of, you know, relatively affordable health insurance for Californians and Americans.
Right. If the tax credits expire and fewer people can afford Covered California healthcare coverage, and we have the Medi-Cal cuts, which would potentially knock hundreds of thousands of people in California off the Medi-Cal rolls and leave them without insurance, what we're facing is an enormous surge in the number of people who are uninsured, therefore possibly showing up at emergency rooms where, if they can't afford to pay for care, then either the facility or taxpayers start eating that cost to care for these folks that don't have insurance. So it has ripple effects. Both these things have ripple effects because of the anticipated increase in the number of people who would be uninsured, not only in the San Joaquin Valley, but statewide.
Yeah. And this is happening at the federal level. But of course, state lawmakers also are well aware of this. I mean, you spoke with the chairwoman of California State Assembly's Health Committee, Democrat Mia Bonta, who was in Fresno last week. Here's part of what she told you.
The impact of H.R. 1 is pretty devastating on this county especially, or this region, the Central Valley region especially. We know in California there was going to be about $30 billion in federal Medi-Cal funding at risk annually. 3.4 million Californians are projected to lose coverage Between 200,000 to 400,000 residents across the Central Valley will lose Medi-Cal coverage by 2034 due to the mandatory work rules, the more frequent eligibility checks, and the new cost-sharing provisions that are built in.
What does it say to you that you have the chairwoman of the Health Committee in Fresno last week, as well as the head of Covered California in Fresno last week?
It would indicate that there's a little bit of a concerted push by the Brown administration and by Democrats in the legislature to keep this as an issue, to keep it alive as an issue, and to sort of point the finger at the Republicans to say they're trying to take your insurance away or they're trying to take your tax credits away. The session with Assemblymember Bonta, she was joined by Fresno Assemblymember Esmeralda Soria here at the Fresno event, and it was billed as a listening session to hear from stakeholders in the healthcare community here in the Fresno area, you know, operators of healthcare clinics, hospital officials, public health officials, to try to get a sense of how these agencies or how these organizations intend to deal with the fallout from HR1, with the loss of, you know, potential loss of Medi-Cal revenue or Medicaid revenue, and how do we keep people healthy in the face of those cuts. And so this was one of, I believe, six sessions, second of six sessions that they're having between now and the end of this year to, I think, give the legislature a little bit of an idea of what actions they might want to take to try to preserve as best they can or stretch the state's dollars as best they can to preserve health care.
And you had said the Brown administration, but you meant the Newsom administration?
I did mean that. Yeah. Yes, I did. Thank
yeah.
you.
No problem.
I'm having a flashback there.
Yeah. Well, you've been a journalist for quite a long time here in California. You're a veteran journalist. So let's listen a little bit to Assemblymember Soria, Democrat from Fresno, who, as you mentioned, joined Assemblymember Bonta at this event, about the concerns that she has moving forward.
The Central Valley in our region is already starting at a deficit. So we're starting at a deficit, and then it's compounded by the actions of HR1 and the lack of resources that are coming into our community. You know, we have the shortage of providers, and at the same time, we have the highest levels of poverty, the highest levels of need. And so all of these impacts are going to be catastrophic.
We've talked about this on Insight in the past, but remind us why the Central Valley could be harder hit than other parts of the state.
Historically, this region has a higher level of socioeconomic disadvantage, higher Hispanic population, higher levels of poverty, lower educational attainment, lower median wages. Unlike the more urban areas in the North and Southern California, we just have these distinct disadvantages that have been, you hate to say baked in, but they've been around for so long here in this region that they're difficult to overcome. And when you have these broad brush types of cuts, we tend to see this region hit a little harder than others, whether it's HR1 and its cuts to Medi-Cal, whether it's the tax credits from the Affordable Care Act, whether it's the cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that was also part of HR1. There's just a lot of things that when it comes to an area that's already disadvantaged with these various factors, it's not exponential, but it's certainly a higher level of impact than more urbanized parts of the state.
Tim, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tim Sheehan is a senior reporter with The Intersection, a health equity reporting lab from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, discussing changes at the federal level that are impacting Covered California, Medi-Cal, as well as other safety net programs across the San Joaquin Valley. Up next, e-bikes are more popular than ever, but with more riders comes more risks. We'll get you up to speed with the latest developments. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.